Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, we're locked and loaded here on The Hoffman Show, hour number 2. Lindell's going to join us at 6 o'clock, actually, to discuss the Jordan Poole trade. 5:30, little NBA draft look at some of the NBA confidential work that David Aldridge did in The Athletic and some players that I think are now even more interesting in Washington considering the Poole trade. However, technically, obviously, the Jordan Poole trade is our top story of the day. We're still going to call this Not My Beat. It's just we booked it yesterday. We thought this would still be one of the top stories. But we're more than happy to welcome in my guy Paul Gallant here in just a moment. But yeah, it's 5 o'clock. You know what we do.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Paul Gallant, host of the Midday Show on 97.5 ESPN in Houston. Paul, I'm never getting ahead on guests again. Never. Breaking news. I should know better.
I feel you on that. But, hey, this was a massive trade that took place on Sunday that distracted some, at least temporarily, from Game 7 of the actual NBA Finals. Leave it to the NBA offseason to sometimes be more interesting than the actual games themselves.
Well, I do think that Game 7 was quite interesting. And by the way, the rating came out for today, the highest rated NBA Finals game since 2019. Apparently, it took all 7 games, Paul, but people did watch. When you heard about the trade, I'll just ask you simply, and we'll go from here. What was your reaction to Kevin Durant, and what is your reaction to Kevin Durant coming to your Houston Rockets?
Well, someone woke me up from a nap to tell me that was happening because I was on my way back from a bachelor party. Some of my buddies from Syracuse were actually driving me back to the airport, so I had nodded off, and they woke me up and said, "Hey, Kevin Durant's a Rocket." And my first thought was, well, I'm going to have an easy show on Monday. So that at the very least is nice. But the secondary thought is this: it legitimizes them as, at the very least, a Western Conference Finals contender, if not an actual championship contender. To have someone that can actually create a shot, given that the reason that the Warriors took him out in 7 was because they had such an inability to create any shots, it's huge. He is so tall. It is impossible to contest his shots practically. And this is a guy that, even if he was playing for a rough Phoenix team that last season Durant would describe as trash, we're talking about those accusations that Boogie Cousins had made about there potentially being a fist fight in the Suns locker room. This is a guy who was doing, maybe not Kevin Durant 10 years ago things, but definitely the kind of things that you would expect from somebody who's considered a top 15 player in the NBA, even at age 37.
Yeah, the 15-time All-Star on his way to Houston. And scaling back for just a second, Durant, even though he's from here, he's a D.C. area guy, PG County, as everyone here knows. He also associates very heavily with Texas after his 1 year in Austin. I know he spent a lot of time in the offseason down there, and there was a reason why San Antonio and Houston were on his list. He is very fond of that part of the country. What does it mean? What was your audience's reaction to Kevin Durant, quote-unquote, coming home?
I think a lot of people are excited about it. I mean, it has been a really long time since he played here in Texas. I mean, the Thunder were still in Seattle at the time, to just put it in perspective. But I think a lot of my friends who are Texas fans are very excited about that. I know one already who already put in an order for a jersey. But I think it's more about, hey, this team was incredibly likable this past year in spite of an inability to do things offensively. And they go and they get this guy, and they didn't have to give up anyone important to make it happen. There's an argument to be made that Jalen Green someday could be a really good player, and perhaps the Rockets are giving up on him a little bit too early. But I look at him as somebody who someday is going to be maybe an elite sixth man on a good team. I felt that way about him for a year and a half. He has his moments where he's really good, but he has his moments where offensively it just doesn't happen. And this playoff series that we just saw from him against Golden State left a lot of doubt in the air about whether or not he'd ever reach the potential of a former number two overall pick. He is young, but hey, if you can get a guy in Kevin Durant that actually can regularly score, great. If you got to give up Dylan Brooks to do it, fine. Brooks was a big help of installing Ime Udoka's culture over these last two seasons. But think about it from this perspective, Craig. I mean, you don't have to give up anything except for pick number 10. The valuable Suns picks you still have from 2027, 2029, you still have those. 5 second round picks, sometimes second round picks end up being really good. Look at the Oklahoma City Thunder. But at the same time, are you really expecting to draft good players in the second round, especially when with this Rockets team, it would be unlikely that a lot of them would see the court given the amount of young talent that they have. And I think most importantly of all, a lot of guys who are clearly a big part of what Ime Udoka wants to do going forward, they all stay. Amen Thompson, Alperen Şengün, I would have told you they were untouchable before this trade. You didn't move either of them. But you also didn't move a guy in Tari Eason who has been compared to Kawhi Leonard by Ime Udoka. That might be a little bit extreme, but hey, as a guy coming off the bench, now he becomes a starter. You keep him. Jabari Smith, a guy who has worked out in the past in the offseason with Kevin Durant, who was a 6 foot 10 kind of guy who has a little bit of range. He stays with you. You keep Reed Shepard, who they look at as a guy with a lot of upside. Like, this works out on a lot of different levels for the Rockets, and I think right now maybe they're not in the same category as Denver because Denver's been so good for such a long period of time and they got Nikola Jokic, but they are certainly a lot closer to Oklahoma City Thunder than they were before the trade, and they still have the ability to improve themselves given that they have those draft picks and some young assets.
Paul Gallant, 97.5 ESPN in Houston with us here on the Hoffman Show. The young player piece of this, and this is something we've talked about with the pool trade here today, amongst other times, the Denny Avdija trade, another one here, where like it opened up more minutes for other guys. How important was that for Houston going into next year with Eason and especially Reed Shepard, who was a top five pick who barely played at all last year?
Yeah, a lot of people were frustrated about that too. For Reed Shepard, this is going to be a very interesting year. When he got his moments, he did have a couple of times where you're thinking to yourself, wow, okay, he's got impressive confidence. He can shoot it from outside, and he's actually got surprisingly good defensive skill about him, considering he's a smaller player. They need to see what he can do. We don't know yet. I know that there has been some delusional thinking from anonymous people close to the Rockets that someone compared him to Steve Nash because Steve Nash is also a white guy who didn't play a lot his rookie season. Like, I would love to see Steve Nash, but let's not get ahead of ourselves here. But it's important to see him play. And, you know, the really interesting piece, I think of all, who's not being discussed at all, but this is a guy who barely played in garbage time in the playoffs, but a guy who I think a lot of people believe has a lot of talent, just maybe doesn't understand what it takes to be a teammate. Cam Whitmore, this is now a guy who has the opportunity to rise the ranks, but he's got to want to buy in. So, really, this offseason, now going forward, over a four-month period, Craig, how much better can the Rockets' younger players get with Reed Shepard? A lot of room. With Jabari Smith, with Tari Eason, maybe a little less room. And with Amen Thompson, with Alperen Şengün, if this team actually wants to be a title contender, those two, I think, are going to need to make some pretty impressive progress over the course of this offseason. Maybe that's too much to ask for them, which is why I think the Rockets, to bring it back to Kevin Durant, are looking at this as a multi-year thing. Obviously, no deals can be struck for a little bit of time, and I'm sure there's going to be some moves the Rockets maybe make. Maybe it's tomorrow during the draft, or maybe it's over the days before the league year starts, where they'll potentially be trying to shed a little bit more salary. But I think the expectation is that Kevin Durant is going to be here for not just one season and the remainder of this contract, but that he potentially signs some sort of deal, hopefully one that's favorable to the Rockets that keeps him around another 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, he can sign an extension after July 6th that is like a certain amount, and then there's a bigger one he can sign if he waits a little bit. I think he crosses a certain like playtime threshold or whatever the rule is, or a league. NBA contracts are stupid. Like, I know a lot about them. Paul, we got too many. Someone put on an apron, you know?
Trying to explain the apron on the air. Like, I feel like I need a whiteboard behind me, and even then, I just feel
like an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to look more like Charlie Day trying to figure out who Pepe Silvia is than I am going to look like someone who knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, well, we've known each other a long time, so I'll just say we both had our moments of knowing and not knowing what we've talked about. Paul Gallant's with us from ESPN Radio's Houston affiliate, 97.5, where he has been talking Rockets and Kevin Durant trade, now talking about that with us. Paul, you mentioned earlier so many of the guys that they were able to keep in this deal. This was a competitive market for Durant on some level. Are you surprised at the price, the price point, how little they had to pay, relatively speaking, for Durant?
I'm just going to be frank. I think everyone knows the Suns are a bunch of idiots, and they thought to themselves, let's just wait. Let's just wait this out, because everyone knows that they have to trade Kevin Durant by a specific date. So from the sound of things, Ime Udoka actually did come up to Rockets ownership and say, I would like to bring Durant in. He was coaching with Durant with the Brooklyn Nets back in 2022. Royal Ivy is a Rockets assistant coach who also played with Durant at Texas and is one of his best friends. Like, there were some connections that happened already, and I think that Ime Udoka may have sped up the process. But from what I understand, the Rockets were willing to stand completely pat going all the way up to the draft. If they got Kevin Durant, great. If they didn't, they were willing to walk away. And I think as coy as they played this, you got to give their GM, Rafael Stone, who I've criticized a lot over the last couple of years, a lot of credit for being cool hand Luke in this situation. I think everyone perhaps was talking with one another, in fact, and maybe a little bit of collusion here as far as the trade goes, saying, why do we need to rush a trade with Phoenix? They have nothing. They're going to be terrible for years and years just because of some of the trades that they have made. Why do we need to rush it? They need to rush it, so they're going to have to continue to keep on lowering their asking price. Some of the stuff it sounded like they were asking for, where from the Spurs, I heard, the number 2 overall pick and Stephon Castle, like, get lost. What are we talking about here? So I think that helped the Rockets out a lot. I am surprised that's as little as they had to pay for it. Obviously, Jalen Green, that's a fairly big asset to give up. But this looks really good for the Rockets, and I'm excited about next season. I already was, because I really enjoy watching this team play. But now to have someone that can actually create his own offense, that's just a huge addition.
All right, last thing for you, Paul. And the one way I could put this is, when we talk about Dylan Brooks on this show, I very much summon my inner you. I am the world's biggest Dylan Brooks hater. I cannot stand that guy. Like, in a way that, like, college you that we did radio together far too many years ago, like, would be proud of. Close the Dylan Brooks chapter in Houston for me. What did he actually do, and what will they miss, if anything, from Dylan Brooks now that he's gone?
He actually did a lot. You know, as someone who was rather annoyed by the Dylan Brooks versus LeBron James saga with Memphis in those playoffs, I took a liking to him. I think, Craig, you'd also know, because I think we've played basketball before, I very much enjoy...
This makes so much sense. Paul liking Dylan Brooks, having actually, yes, played basketball with you before. Paul was a high school football player, which is all I have to tell you about him playing basketball, Anthony. You liking Dylan Brooks does 1,000% track.
We are such a stereotype when it comes to that, but I will say this. He had his moments offensively. He stretched the court, and I really think that he was big to help the Rockets go from under Steven Silas essentially being like a daycare without a chaperone to a team where accountability mattered. I think he was a big part of the transition to where they're now. I think they're ahead of schedule because of Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks being here and showing some of these young guys what it takes to be professional, because that certainly didn't happen in the immediacy after James Harden quit on this team. So He's a punching bag. I'll say this, though. He's one of those many guys in the league, whether it's Patrick Beverley back in the day or Draymond Green, where you absolutely hate him until he's on your team. And then when he's on your team, you're like, oh, wow. Did he just hit 8 threes in a game? Oh, wow. Did he just lock down this guy defensively? That's who he's always been. But, yeah, he's on another team. He's so annoying.
That sounds about right. There's some stuff where I'm like, hey, man, you bit off a little more than you can chew there, and that didn't really help your team. And I do think, like, to your point, as a floor raiser, Dylan Brooks has a role. I think they ejected him at the perfect time. Now that they're ready to go.
Yes.
They're no longer in the basement. It's like, oh, here, we're at a nicer restaurant now. Sorry, Dylan. You needed to wear a nicer shirt. We're going to have to leave you behind, buddy. All right. That's Paul Gallant with us here on the Hoffman Show. Paul, where can people go to check you out if they want to listen to more Durant trade coverage from here in D.C.?
Well, the radio show's on noon to 3 on a variety of different platforms, but you can also catch me on my own personal YouTube channel, which is at Paul Gallant. And, yeah, if you like ramblings that just go completely off topic, I'm the guy, I guess.
Yeah, but I feel the need to cut you off. In fact, right now, before you get going, Paul Gallant, everybody, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Good to chat, buddy, and I'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one.
That's my guy, PG. Paul Gallant, 97.5 ESPN in Houston. When we get back, a few more thoughts on the Durant trade. Obviously, continuing to talk the Jordan Poole trade all show long here on the Hoffman Show. And at 5:30, also doing plenty of NBA Draft today. NBA Draft Confidential Wing Edition here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Coming up in 5 minutes or so, 8 minutes, 5:30, we're going to talk NBA Draft. And we're going to talk about some of the wings in this draft. NBA Draft Confidential is a piece that David Aldridge does the last couple of years, and it's really awesome. And we're going to discuss what he heard from a bunch of different NBA executives and college coaches on the wings in this draft. One thing I will say about the Jordan Poole trade. You good over there, man? What was that double salute you just did? What are you doing?
I had to stretch real quick.
I was like, we went from like stretch to dance moves to confusion.
Yeah, because I caught myself flexing and I wasn't trying to do that.
Just one of these. No, I'm like, dang, I got to do some more bicep curls. Not the flex it used to be. Shoot. Did hit some nice numbers. I'm back over 200 on bench. That was nice. I think I could get one rep at 225 right now.
Hey, now.
If not two reps at 225.
You got bench tomorrow. Thursday.
The problem is right now I squat about as much as I bench.
Really?
Yeah. I got to.
Is that a lot of weight or a little weight?
I mean, it's not nothing.
True.
Like, we're talking about like full range. If I wanted to just do like some quarter squats or cheat, I could squat significantly more than I bench, but. It's not as much as I would like it to be.
Yeah.
In terms of the difference, the stagger is not, it should be like bench, squat, deadlift. Instead, it's like bench, squat, deadlift.
And you got to lay off the deadlifts then, man.
No, you got to keep going on all of them.
No, I'm playing.
You got to keep going on all of them. What are you, do you not have that much of a difference in your squat and your bench?
No.
You don't really squat.
You said, what is my squat?
I said, you don't really squat.
No.
When was the last time you squatted?
Couldn't really tell you. I'd rather do cardio than like weightlifting.
How are your legs gonna get stronger?
It's a great question, Craig. I hate when my legs feel like noodles. Like it is the worst feeling. And I walk so many places and I walk so often. And I gotta walk up so many stairs. So just like, dude. Yeah.
You really gonna be skipping leg day? You work on this show and you skip leg day? You know what makes me so mad? You skip leg day and like your vert compared to my vert. I trained so hard.
So the last leg day I did was probably about like a month ago or 2 months ago, but it did not involve squatting.
Wait, hold on. Say that again. The last leg, the last time you lifted weights with your legs was how long ago?
About a month ago, maybe a month and a half.
How often do you lift?
Oh, I lift like 4 or 5 times a week.
What do you do?
So on Mondays I do chest and back. Tuesdays I'll do curls. Wednesday
I'll
do
straight bicep curls. For how long?
I do buys and tries, like okay, some arm stuff.
So arms. Okay, so it's
chest, back. Buys and tries. Wednesday, I'll do some cardio. Thursday, we're back to benching. You know, you're really supposed to bench like 3 times a week if you want
to. According to Hoopst.
I don't know.
For what purposes? For what goals?
To increase your bench.
How much do you bench?
Right now?
Yeah.
I mean, right now I'm doing 5 sets of 225.
Five reps? Like a 5x5 at 225?
No, I'm doing 4 sets of 5 reps of 225. My bad, I said that wrong.
Okay, that's good. You give me a month and a half? How long have you been doing that?
About 2 weeks this week.
Okay. Two weeks. That's good. That's definitely good. But yeah, if you're only focused on that, I'd hope so.
I mean, the thing is, like, I do some stuff to like strengthen the legs. Just
bench,
not a lot.
Bench is also like the least functional. It's such a bro. Like, hey, bro, you want a bench? Like the lack of function in bench is the highest amongst the compound lifts.
Yeah.
It's literally the most pointless lift outside of being able to say, hey, I bench this. I bet you Linnell is downstairs benching right now.
He is. That's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
He might be on the treadmill.
Maybe.
And it steps in.
We'll find out. He's going to join us to talk about not his workout regimen, but the trade of Jordan Poole coming up at 6 o'clock. I don't remember what we were going to talk about. I don't know how we got on that, but we're doing NBA Draft Confidential next because the draft is tomorrow here on the Team 980.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down. we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. I promise not to get super sidetracked. We'll get to the NBA draft stuff in a second. But Anthony, tight end U is happening right now. And did you see that? So tight end U, for those that don't know, a bunch of NFL tight ends get together and like exchange notes and work together and try to better their games. And it's a really cool thing that was George Kittle is the big driving force behind it. But Travis Kelce and Greg Olsen are also very involved. And Travis brought his significant other, a.k.a. Taylor Swift, to tight end U.
Wow.
Imagine like 3 years ago being like, hey, in 3 years, tight end you, Taylor Swift is going to be there.
I would be there.
That's I just think, hilarious. And also there's something like tight end, Taylor Swift just feels like a funny match because tight end's like one of the most unglamorous positions in the sport.
Yeah.
But I love it. Good for the tight ends. Okay. Let's get into NBA Draft Confidential here. And David Aldridge does this every year. It's really, really good. We went through the guards last week. And I think it's worth mentioning in lieu of the Jordan Poole trade that I do think Jeremiah Fears, who's someone that we to an extent skipped over last week, but I said, like, hey, be like if all of a sudden Jordan Poole gets traded, then I think that we could be looking at Jeremiah Fears as a potential guy. I think he's now in play for the Wizards in a way that it wouldn't have been as smart to take him when we woke up this morning. So I think it's just worth saying that. Does that mean that they're 100% taking Fears if he's on the board? No. There's other guys that I think they might have above him that are interesting fits. And that kind of gets us to where we're at. Obviously, the top guy on the board is Cooper Flagg on the wing. I'm not going to bother with Flagg stuff. Ace Bailey is the next guy that David got reports on. Ace Bailey is the most interesting player to me in this draft. Anthony, before we get into what scouts and executives and coaches said about him, have you watched Ace Bailey? Do you have thoughts on Ace Bailey?
I do have thoughts on Ace Bailey.
What are your thoughts going into what I'm about to tell you about Ace Bailey on Ace Bailey?
Yeah, because I actually haven't read it. I think he is a shot maker, but I think he takes outlandish shots. I would equate him to a Paul George that takes, you know, really difficult shots. Carmelo Anthony takes really difficult shots, but, you know, he makes them. So.
And those guys were multiple-time All-Stars that played on a bunch of winning teams. Not championship teams necessarily, but winning teams. I mean, Denver, Melo pushed that team pretty far. He got some places in the playoffs. Paul George has been to some deeper playoff runs. Ace Bailey scares the daylights out of me because I could see where if you pass on him and you're like, there's a lot of stuff here. I'm out. That it doesn't work and you think it's not going to work, that it does, and you're the guy that passed on Ace Bailey, who has been highly touted. Like, for a while, it was Flag, Harper, Bailey. And, like, Bailey was right there as, like, depending on how this season plays out, he could be the top pick in this draft. And I think pretty quickly, especially after the Vegas stuff last year, like, we've known Cooper Flag was going to be the number one pick for a long time. It would have taken a very different season at Duke and at Rutgers for Bailey and Harper. But coming out, like, it was kind of the trio of them. It was the three of them. The two Rutgers kids and Cooper Flagg. And so when you have that kind of talent, and it was clearly a bad situation in Rutgers last year, although a lot of people point to Ace Bailey as the reason why, in terms of on the floor, not that he's necessarily a bad kid, could he rebound and be great? Could he be what Anthony Edwards is? We were like, oh my God, I know that Georgia team he was on wasn't very good, but like, did we just stupidly pass on the best skill that a guy can have, shot making? By the same token, there's real reasons why there's fear with Ace Bailey. One, the workout stuff is weird. And I do think that the agent that he has been working with is a guy that hasn't represented as many guys as some of the other top agents. And there was I can't remember who he had a couple years ago, but like similar kind of weird workout thing and like kind of misplayed it. And that player eventually fired him. So there's a chance he's getting bad advice here. But he apparently like really wants to go to Washington or Utah or one of these places where he can get a lot of reps on the ball. Like he wants to be a featured offensive player. I don't know if I want a guy like that. I want a guy who's like, what can I do to win? The shot making is incredibly impressive, but he makes hard shots in college. Well, that means he's got to take hard shots in college. Hard shots in college become no shot in the NBA. And like, that's what scares me about Ace Bailey. So it's a double-edged sword, man. He could be awesome or he could cost you your job. So some of the feedback that David Aldridge got in his NBA Draft Confidential, which you can read in full on The Athletic. It's long. I'll tell you that. This article took me almost 30 minutes to read while I was on the bike today, Anthony. A lot of slow pedaling, a lot of slow reading. I like Ace a lot. This is from a college assistant coach whose team played against Rutgers this year. I think he's a pretty one-sided player. I don't think there's a whole lot of desire on defense. I hate criticizing kids on stuff like that when I haven't coached them, though. I don't know what they were asking or maybe he was doing what they were asking him to do. He certainly has the measurables to be a good defender. He's got good athleticism. He's got good length. He's got quickness. Western Conference executive. There are questions about how good his feel for the game is and how locked in he is, and the team was disappointing, and he was a little up and down. But on his game, you could sit there and squint and tell yourself you're getting some version of Durant. This is probably my favorite thing, and I think the thing that would push me away from him based off of if this is true. But by the same token, if you're telling me he's a Durant or an Anthony Edwards or like that kind of shot maker, it's going to be hard to push away. The playmaking, this is the quote from the Western Conference executive, the playmaking, I feel in part, is not there. My experience has been while we can get guys slimmer, put on weight, get them stronger, a lot of guys improve their jump shots and everything. But if that playmaking is not there, we don't have a computer chip to insert to go get them to do that. That's not going to improve. You have to, in almost all cases, bring that to the NBA or you just don't have it. That's the thing that scares me. Western Conference executive number two, is he a talented kid? Yes, but he better get to the right environment. If he gets in a dysfunctional situation, he could be out of the league in 5 years. This is why it's so hard with the Wizards currently, I think, too, Anthony, is because are the Wizards the right environment? They care so much about how they take care of their players. They want guys to succeed. They give them distinct development plans. Like there's been tremendous growth in their young players since Dawkins and Winger got here and they've implemented the things that they want to implement. It's why if you take Ace Bailey, you're betting as much on Ace Bailey as you are on yourself. And if you're saying, hey, I'm going to bet on myself, like there's a level of confidence to that. And that's kind of where I am on Ace. If they take him, I'm going to be like, all right, let's go. If he's on the board and they pass on him for someone else, I'd be like, understood.
Yeah, I mean, I think even when you look at what's transpired the last year with our rookies that we took last year, they all progressively got better towards the end of the season. And coming into this environment where they are big on player development and they're also big on allowing these young guys to play through mistakes, I think this is a good, you know, atmosphere for a guy like Ace if they were willing to, you know, take a chance on him. But to be honest, I think anybody we bring in will, you know, have the flexibility to be able to, you know, play through mistakes and, you know, learn from, you know, year one of playing in the NBA. So if they think he's coachable, if they, you know, like him, who he is as the person, I think this is a no-brainer. But I mean, also, I wouldn't be upset if, you know, they didn't, you know, choose him. So
they also, I mean, Will said at the postseason, my guess, and this is 1,000% a guess. My guess is they would pass on him simply because Will has talked about them being a defensive first team. But also, you have to score the basketball in the modern NBA, and they don't have a shot maker. Like, and they also don't have a star. And Ace Bailey, outside of Flagg and Harper, is probably the guy with the biggest upside in this draft. So while like my lean based off of who they're trying to lean into identity wise, he doesn't fit. I could also see why they make an exception for him and be like, we're going to surround this guy with so much good defense that it doesn't matter how bad he is. And hopefully he'll also buy into the culture and work to get better because he does have a lot of tools on that end. But we can't teach the thing. We can't teach someone else the thing he has. And so I could make the argument either way. All right, next guy, Con Knipple, who is skyrocketing off draft boards. I'm going to be honest with you, Anthony. I don't know how much time we need to spend on Con Knipple because I don't think he's going to be there at six.
Dan, you think he's going that high?
Every mock draft that I have seen recently has him going off the board at least at five, if not at four. Four seems to be the popular spot at Charlotte.
Hey, that boy can shoot, man.
I would also see if they want to pair Tyrese Maxey with him and Embiid. And like we are going to see if we can get Joel healthy, and we're going to try to be good now. And if not, because he is as plug and play as you get in this draft outside of Flag. Just he's going to come in. He's going to hit shots. He's an awesome shooter. He competes his face off. Like, and then in the long term, he and Tyrese Maxey can grow together in Philly if they take him at three. So I can definitely see that. A couple of quotes here from NBA Draft Confidential. And if he's on the board, I definitely think he's in play for Washington, obviously. College head coach whose team played Duke. He was way better than I thought he was. I saw him a little bit in high school, and he was a good player. But I wondered how that would translate, especially with the athleticism. He really knows how to play. He's bigger than you think. He's more athletic than you think. He can put it on the floor a little bit better than you think. He's super, super competitive. Another Eastern Conference executive. He's going to at least stick his nose in there. When I saw him at the Jordan Brand Classic, I told someone this guy was talking about TJ Power, who was a Duke commit in 2023. What a great shooter he is. And Con's a better shooter than TJ. I told him they've got Con Knipple coming in, and he's going to take those minutes. Power wound up transferring to Virginia instead of that happening. So I think Knipple is a guy that is super interesting and is rising up boards for a reason. And I also don't think people see relatively for an NBA prospect, slow-footed white guy, and they're like, can't defend. Like, he's going to have some trouble with some of the quicker guys in the league, but like, he's big, he's long, and he's really smart. And the stuff, again, offensively, like, you can't teach a guy how to shoot like that. And there's more off the dribble game than I think people realize. So yeah, I don't think Knipple's making it out of the top five.
Hey, now that, you know, I hear, you know, everybody's assessment of him, I would be surprised if he's there as well. Like, shooting translates.
Most of the mocks don't have it. And by the way, like John Hollinger, former NBA executive, longtime NBA writer, he released his top 75 today.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Knipple in that third tier, like top five kind of player. He's got Bailey 12th.
Dang.
So there are definitely people in the league that have Knipple above Bailey. And I think that might be how that plays out on draft night.
You can't teach shooting, man. The dude shot 40.6% from three as a freshman, and he's probably only going to get better. We talk about Tahina Pow, how she dropped. She's shooting 57% from three.
That's crazy.
And she was one of the league leaders. I mean, she was one of the leaders in college. So it's just like, it translates.
You can't teach a bad shooter to be great. You can teach a bad shooter to be okay, an okay shooter to be good, a good shooter to be great, and a great shooter to be elite. But you can't get from this guy's a 28% three-point shooter into a 45% shooter.
Yeah.
Con Knipple's 41. So that is definitely worth mentioning. All right, there's a couple other names I want to roll through, including one guy who I think might be the biggest swing in this draft. We're talking NBA draft before we get back to the Wizards and the Jordan Poole trade coming up with Linnell at 6 o'clock.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster, and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower.
And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro. 5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Linnell will be in studio with us coming up at 6 o'clock to talk about the Jordan Poole trade. Tomorrow, Linnell follows us here on the Team 980. Wizards draft show starts at 4 o'clock. I'm on 4 till 7 as usual, just a special edition of the Hoffman Show. We live outside the Wizards War Room. And then Linnell will have our full NBA draft coverage starting at 7 o'clock. Of course, last year, it was literally, Anthony, do you remember the Denny Avdija trade last year?
To the Trailblazers?
Yeah, you remember like the timing of it? This literally is, I'm talking about the show with Linnell, like just popped into my head.
Was this right when we were about to get off air?
It happened as we were signing off.
Yeah, as we were
like,
getting off.
We signed off and 6 seconds later, Woj broke the news.
And then you stayed on for an extra hour.
And then I stayed on with Linnell.
And I had to leave.
Yes, you did. But I remember, because I also remember doing it like in, we made a vlog last year of draft day. And I remember being like, tick, tick. There's the Woj tweet.
That's two years in a row then.
One of the final Woj bombs.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's 2 years in a row, though, that we had like media. We had Wizards trade news.
Right before the draft.
You had to stay an extra hour.
The year before, it was the Beal trade. Yeah.
Which CK stepped in for me.
Yeah, which all-time greatest moment on the show. Yeah. Hey, boss, can you run the board and answer the phones for me?
It was actually two years ago to the day.
Was it?
Well, that it was the 24th, 2 years ago.
Oh, it was the 24th.
Yeah.
Huh. They love making trades on the 24th. What can I tell you? Well, Mark, put a reminder in next year. Wizards are going to make a trade today. Probably into the cap space that was created by today's trade. It's kind of the point. All right. Let's get into a couple more quick names to keep an eye on for the Wizards tomorrow, specifically on the wing. And these names, I don't know if the Wizards are going to be able to get because I think they're going to fall in the range that goes between their picks, right? So they have 6 and 18. And could they trade up? Like, could a Houston want extra draft capital, let's say, and in the future and trade 10 to the Wizards for 18 and, I don't know, like 18 and Corey Kispert? Something like that?
Already traded 10.
That's right. Phoenix has 10.
For the Suns.
Could Phoenix, they don't need another two guard. Someone, I don't know. Do they want a vet? Do they want Marcus Smart? Not that I want to give up Marcus Smart or Corey Kispert. Like, I like all these dudes. That's the problem. They've acquired so many good dudes, Anthony. Every time they trade one now, I'm just like really, really sad. I'm like, oh, but I like that guy. Oh, well. But I feel like it's worth mentioning these anyway. Cedric Coward out of Washington State. Only played 6 games for Washington State. He played 2 years prior to that at Eastern Washington. And I love this from a college head coach who played him while he was at Eastern Washington. We knew he had already played at Eastern for a year and had a modest numbers, but made the transition pretty well. I popped on the scout tape getting ready to play them. First thing I told my staff was, guys, this guy might be an NBA player. His measurables, the way he moves, were so smooth and fluid. I just loved him. I had such a man crush on him and his game. We were fortunate when we competed against them. The way we played defense against their system really helped us when we played them. I was not surprised at all, though, that he started climbing up draft boards the last 16 months. Humble kid, easy to root for. Again, this is about Cedric Coward, the 6'5 wing out of Washington State. So he is a guy that, like, you start reading up a little bit on him, some of the size, like, is he kind of in that, you know, that endless amount of wings that Oklahoma City has? Could he fit in that? Yes, he definitely could. Carter Bryant, 6'7", out of Arizona. I love this about his routine. This is from a college assistant coach who played Arizona this year. We go to Arizona. We get there 2 hours before, a little earlier than we usually do. I just watched him go through his routine, and I was like, oh, this dude's a pro. He's out there like nobody else out there. 1 foot hops. He's going through it. I was like, this guy's got a routine to his game, and he was coming off the bench. And that's the thing. So he's interesting because he only played like less than 20 minutes a game last year at Arizona. And a lot of his advanced metrics are really good. Like his per 36 numbers are crazy, but it's because he barely played. And if he had played more, he'd probably been more exposed. So he's a guy that I think is high upside, but probably not going to be available to the Wizards. A couple more real quick. Liam McNeely, 6'7 wing, 19 years old out of UConn. Not the greatest athlete, but every single guy that he talked to about him, David put a college assistant, another college assistant, and an Eastern Conference executive, and they're all like, that dude is an a-hole. Positive. Plus.
I was about to say, what?
Like, he on the floor just like has a confidence and a Here's a quote. You know, talking about Steph Castle the year before at UConn. Steph Castle the year before, his combination of size, playmaking, ability, and shooting, and bravado for such a young player. I was incredibly impressed with that. Steph Castle the year before, he didn't even really have that. We dared Castle to make threes. He was struggling to shoot it. McNeely, it was just the complete opposite. He was almost like, this is my stuff from the jump ball. I was blown away by that. Between the shooting, his three-point shot was terrible last year, but he shot 45% his senior year of high school. He just took a lot of tough shots, I think, last year. He's a guy that's really interesting, and he probably will be available at 18. He's going to go in that like 16 to 20 range. Here's the most interesting guy in the entire draft. Noah Esanga, 6'10", currently playing in Germany. He's had an awesome last couple of months. Eastern Conference executive says he's more talented than Zachary Risarche, who was the number one overall pick last year. He says he's got a decent feel, can attack a closeout, get to the rim, make an open shot. And he's young, and he's going to have to grow. But he's super young. Western Conference exec number 3, the wild card of the draft. A long wingspan, high motor, needs to develop his body. Kid has some Scottie Pippen in him. He's my wild card in this draft. He can go anywhere from 5 to 15, I think. Hard worker, will develop an offensive game eventually because of how dedicated he is. He's a guy that I think the Wizards are going to have to trade up for. But man, if he falls to 18. Big French guy. That's the type. But a guy who's got that kind of athletic upside, that kind of potential at 18, that feels like a swing worth taking.
I'm with it. I'm with it, man.
You want more from Aldridge? One, he was on Grant Danny today, so you can check out their podcast, get his reaction to the Jordan Poole news. We might pull a David Aldridge bite later on in the show as well. But you can read his work in The Athletic, and it's awesome. Glad that we could share some of that with you and help it form our opinions of this draft class here on the air. When we get back, Linnell Willingham, he's been chomping at the bit to talk to me about this Jordan Poole trade since the moment the news broke. We're going to talk about it next here on the Team 980.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.